This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Frightening these days, isn't it? It is. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, are you getting ready for Halloween? Do you not celebrate such nonsense? Do you do the trunk thing? There's a lot of that going on where churches and schools, I think that's good. You have younger kids, right? So you have trunks full of candy, and then they go around and get the candy that way. There's a little bit of a control thing there, and especially with the murky rules of what are different neighborhoods doing or not, although it isn't last year, so it's a little bit different, I think, than last year was. I had a pretty sizable amount of kids that came through for Halloween, so I have to amp up on the candy, which is always dangerous, right? Because especially I'm always on that forever road of adding an extra mile, walking the dog longer, doing everything I can to stave off Father Time and to feel better. And then the Snickers bars come into the house, or the Kit Kats, or really the thing that's deadly for me, and most people don't even go in this direction, is Twizzlers. I mean, I see a thing of Twizzlers, and it's like filet mignon. I don't know why, and probably because it's not around, I guess. So I have a new thing I'm going to do where I'm going to hide the candy. I'm going to have the hubs hide the candy, and then we pull it out at the right before they come to the door, and then that's it. And whoever comes last, you get the whole thing. They just get the whole thing, whatever's left over. There's no leftovers this time around. No leftovers. All right, there's plenty of leftovers when it comes to the conversations that are happening all over this country and, frankly, outside of our border as well, whether it's Australia, New Zealand, the UK, wherever. Just pick a country. We're fortunate on this show because I think it's cool that we get to introduce you to people from different places when they come on our authors segment, and often I talk to them off the air about what's going on with lockdowns or mandates or vaccine and all of that. And the people in Australia, like, just have had it up to here with lockdowns, and some of the cities there have had the worst they've had to put up with. And they have plenty of people that are anti-vaxxers and plenty of people that wanted to get vaccinated and couldn't get vaccinated, and then those that did. So that's a whole different thing. What's happening here in the United States? 21 Republican state attorneys general sent a letter to President Joe Biden. They sent it on Wednesday, saying they think his COVID-19 vaccination mandate for federal contractors stands on shaky legal grounds, and it's confusing to contractors and could make the supply chain problem worse than we already have in this country, because they're afraid, companies are afraid of getting blacklisted for federal contracts unless they get their workers vaccinated on a timeline that's not workable. See, so you got to think of that, because those federal contracts are the lifeblood for a lot of companies, a lot of them. So what the letter said is just, we strongly urge you to instruct agencies to cease implementing the mandate or to provide clarity to agencies and federal contractors across the country and delay the mandate's compliance date. So Republicans are already threatening to sue over the order. And some legal experts think that the Biden administration is on strong legal footing with the mandates to protect public safety, because that's what their angle would be. Biden has said companies with at least 100 employees will have to require all their employees be vaccinated or undergo this weekly testing. And I've mentioned this before, who pays for the testing? So, and then there's the press to have the testing that can be the test kits that could go right to houses. So the mandate for federal contractors goes into effect in December, and it doesn't have a testing option. It doesn't have a testing option. Businesses, government, schools are setting up that COVID-19 vaccination requirements. So you've got employees of, like, here's a good example. You have employees of some federal contractors, you know, like at a shipbuilder. There's a NASA rocket engine test site in Mississippi, and they're protesting because they think it's overreach into their lives, forcing people to get vaccinated or lose their jobs. In fact, the Mississippi Attorney General, Lynn Fitch, said by doing that, that is it's a mismanaged execution. And the idea demonstrates how unworkable it is as a national policy. And remember, the Texas governor, Greg Abbott, had that executive order October 11th to bar private companies or any other entity from requiring vaccinations. Of course, there's been challenges to that. The White House coronavirus response coordinator, a guy named Jeff Zients, if you remember that name, says he expects federal agencies and contractors are going to follow the HR processes, and that for any of the probably relatively small percent of employees that are not in compliance, they'll go through education, counseling, and then enforcement. But he says he doesn't expect any disruptions at all to the economy, none, as a result of the mandate. So are we going to fall off a cliff, or are Zients right and there's more exaggeration and people that are protesting too much over this? I think in New York City they're going to have a problem, but that's their individual, the city itself. That's the mayor there and his mandate. I think that's different. But will we see this on the federal level or not? Now, American Airlines and Southwest said they didn't think that the December 8th deadline would impact their holiday travel or have employees leaving. They say they don't think that's going to be a problem. Then you have others that, you know, like FedEx. So think of people that deliver packages. FedEx, UPS, some other cargo carriers. They say it's impossible to have 100% of their workforces vaccinated by December 8th because of the convoluted schedules, even that wouldn't be possible. And you have a big push, again, to abandon the plan. That are we gutting transportation and tens and maybe thousands of essential good-paying jobs? So which way will this end up? I think we're going to wait and see as we get closer and what the numbers are. I don't believe that mandate is going to be pushed. I don't, despite the pressure, I don't think there's going to be a push on that mandate at all. Don't think so. All right, he's kind of like Larry David, if you know anything about Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yes, Wilbur Shapiro joins us with his latest book. Stay with us.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What better gift to give your loved ones than the gift of good health? And where better to buy those good health gifts than sunny-bay.com? Hey, it's great that you're hearing this message now, because buying your holiday gifts from Sunny Bay early will save you money. And that's just one reason why Sunny Bay is in business and has been for over 15 years, helping you with fashionable and useful products for better health. See our unique and quality-made travel pillows, or our unique neck and body wraps that help immediate pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Come in a wide variety of uses, apply hot or cold therapy, and are all made in the USA. See our great selection, affordable prices, and wonderful health products at sunny-bay.com. And remember, order early when our stock is high and shipping is fast. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Which is supposed to be incredible. It's on my list of places to go. And you're at the Boise Town Square Shopping Mall. It's in Idaho's, of course, biggest city. It's the city's largest mall. 150-some stores. You're just there. You're taking the baby for a walk, or you're walking, or you're grabbing something for the fam, or, hey, you're going to your favorite watering hole to meet a couple of the guys for whatever reason. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, almost. And then all of a sudden, you hear this pop, 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 pop. And, yeah, shots ring out. And people are flying. Just take cover, active shooter. People are either trying to figure out where they can hide, or they're flat out running for it. Running in every direction you can imagine. Because that's what you hear, active shooter. What do? People are trying to process it. You just keep running. Get to the outer perimeter, as one person described it, of the parking lot. Of course, that's what you do. Then, once you're told it's safe, you finally make your way back to the car, if you can remember where you parked your car, because your mind is so jumbled. And that's what happened to a lot of people. 2 people were killed, 6 injured now, they're saying, including a police officer in this shopping mall. A suspect taken into custody in critical condition, and they're investigating what happened, what was it about. There are no more details other than that, except for, once again, in a sleepy little town on what isn't supposed to be a manic Monday, it becomes crazy and chaotic when we're already dealing with so much. Now this is just it, right? This is the world we live in. We've seen this in, unfortunately, supermarkets, see it in shopping malls, schools, churches. What is the answer? We have different psychologists on, psychiatrists on. People talk about people being isolated, lonely, and all kinds of different reasons. Reach out if you know someone's not right. How do you know someone's going to do that? How does anyone? And so often we hear, nice person, nice guy, would never do that. Used to date my sister, was XYZ. I think now more than ever, that word isolation and people feeling disconnected and disillusioned and all of those things has just been magnified. Do I know if it has anything to do with this? No, but I can almost guess. And we'll see in the next couple of days where that all ends up. But it's sad. Of course, it's sad to see that anywhere, wherever it happens. A couple of other things that popped up on the radar, as I say, as we traverse in a couple of different directions and talk about what's the focus, in my neck of the woods, maybe, and in your neck of the woods, and what we're dealing with and how we're dealing with it. So there are a few things that I saw that made me think about, the vaccination, the COVID, and how we're dealing with tests and all that kind of stuff. And there are some new rules that are kicking in, because the U.S. is going to require contact tracing. So COVID tests, when anybody, an international person, comes in, that was the whole idea. When they come in, they're going to lift that next month. So they're going to allow vaccinated visitors from abroad into the country starting November 8th. So the COVID-era travel restrictions barred most visitors from the UK, the EU, Brazil, and other countries. Unvaccinated inbound travelers, including U.S. citizens, have to show proof of a negative COVID test within 1 day of departure. So this means that anybody, wherever they are, you got to get that test. You got to find a test. You got to get a COVID test. And you got to have it on hand, results to show, within 1 day of departure. That won't be easy for some people, but that's it. That's the rules that have been put in place. And of course, before, it was nobody. Most visitors from more than 30 countries couldn't come in. So now at least that's been eased. But if you're traveling anywhere, just make sure you have your finger on the pulse of, where do I get a COVID test? Otherwise, it might be difficult coming back, right? Yes. And of course, Delta, United, American Airlines, they're saying that bookings for transatlantic travel have surged since these plans have been put in place to replace the country's specific travel bans with vaccine requirements. So I think there's just a demand to travel anywhere. I think if anybody gets any kind of a good deal, or they could go someplace that's been on their list and they can somehow afford it, whether, I don't care if it's jumping in the car, people are doing that, or camping or whatever, but definitely if they can figure out a way to get on a plane to go somewhere, I think that the whole idea of being weary or feeling trapped, even if you love where you are, I think that's hit people in a very, very big way, right? So I'm not surprised that there's more interest in traveling to lots of other places. That's not surprising to me at all. All right, how about this? This is like from the files of Are You Kidding Me, Man? I was reading this story earlier today that a man spent most of his COVID-19, what are people thinking, business loan on one item. You know what the one item was? $57,789 on a Pokemon card. Pokemon card. Yeah. So, the whole idea was you keep your struggling business afloat. One man was charged with spending his loan money on strip clubs. Duh. I know I've talked about this before. There was the guy that bought the $318,000 Lamborghini. Yeah, you're not going to get caught. Take a page from the mafia. Never show your wealth if you've knocked over a truck. So you're knocking over virtual trucks, so to speak. A federal watchdog said this month that the Small Business Administration overpaid $4.5 billion in grants to self-employed people, and that no system of controls were in place to flag applications with flawed or illogical information, even claims of up to 1 million employees. So this year, the Small Business Administration Inspector General concluded that the federal agency rushed out billions of dollars in loans through something that was probably helpful to a lot of people that didn't need it, the Paycheck Protection Program, at the expense of controls that could have stopped the Lamborghini dude, the Pokemon person probably, and maybe the stripper guy. I mean, who knows what other people spent the money on, right? And then people who really needed it would have gotten it, because maybe they didn't. Maybe they got declined. Or, you know, or maybe they got some, but they could have gotten more, and it would have helped in keeping more people in place when you were really struggling with whatever business it was. Because remember, you got to think back to the very beginning of the pandemic, right? So the SBA is saying that its COVID EIDL program has dispersed more than $310 billion to small businesses and has been critical to their pandemic recovery, right? But again, what is the, you know, what's it being used for? So, for example, the guy who got the Pokemon spent the money on the Pokemon card, which is absurd. It's absurd, isn't it? He was looking for a loan where he said on his application he had 10 employees and he had revenue of over $235,000 over a year. So then the Small Business Administration, a month later, deposited $85,000 into a bank account in his name. Oh, are you kidding? Although collector item gaming cards can get big money. One unopened box of first edition Pokemon cards sold for $400,000. So perhaps he was taking a risk. I'll just make this money and then I'll just pay this loan back. I just know. I'll just do it. I'll be the one. I'll be the one in a million that makes that kind of money again. Crazy. And there's other silly stories that I could probably bore you with or annoy you with, because I think it's annoying because too many people really needed that money and didn't get it, and they perhaps should have been eligible. All right, hang with us. A couple of great guests coming up next round the bend.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
In San Antonio, Texas, people are cleaning up as powerful storms tore through the area. There were reports of tornadoes in Houston and also in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And in the Northeast, there is major storm cleanup in eastern Massachusetts after a nor'easter ripped through the area. Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker had a warning to the people in his state.
Folks should remember the storm isn't finished and crews are working to make roadways and other infrastructure safe.
Over the past 24 hours, power lines have been down, debris has covered major roads, and trees have fallen all around the South Shore. Also, the power company there said they've called in crews from Connecticut, New Hampshire, and from Canada. The CDC is now recommending a fourth COVID shot for those with compromised immune systems. This is USA Radio News. As the investigation continues into the shooting on the set of an Alec Baldwin movie in Santa Fe, New Mexico, that killed the film's cinematographer, authorities say criminal charges haven't been ruled out. The Santa Fe County Sheriff and District Attorney both agree that accusations of safety on the movie set prior to the shooting could be a factor into a decision over whether to file the charges. District Attorney Mary Carmack Altweis was asked if negligence was involved.
We can't say that it was negligence by whom, how many people were involved. We can't say that with any certainty at this point. So when we get to that point, yes, I will speak to that.
Negotiations continue among Democrats as they try to come together on what should be part of President Biden's spending plan. There's still a question on whether a tax on billionaires should be included. Democrats had been hoping to have a framework in place before President Biden heads to Europe on Thursday. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Many Americans suffer from poor digestion, which can adversely affect their health.
For you guys who have digestive issues, glutathione is amazingly important for inflammatory bowel disease, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, stomach cancer. The glands of the stomach produce lots of glutathione. So glutathione's got multiple roles to play, and one of the best ways to upregulate to make more glutathione is to take the building blocks, glycine being one of the most important of the building blocks for making glutathione. Your ultimate enzymes contain something called trimethylglycine. We know it as betaine. We talk about betaine as an important ingredient for acidification, for keeping the pH of the stomach nice and low. But betaine can also help you make glutathione.
Help your body build glutathione. Order Ultimate Enzymes by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsidebend.com. That's brightsidebend.com. Order today.
Without a doubt, one of my favorite things I did when I went to Ireland was learn everything I could about Bram Stoker. He is, of course, the author of Dracula, the Gothic horror novel, and introduced me to my love of vampires. And the Irish author had quite an impact on so many things, certainly on Ireland and its people, and what an interesting life he led. What a thrill it is to be joined by Dacre Stoker, who is the great-grandnephew of that Irishman I just spoke of. And what a perfect time to have him on, as so many people are getting ready for Halloween, including the Delaneys. So, Dacre, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, Kate, thank you for having me. It's always a big week in the Stoker family leading up to the Halloween, sort of like our own private Super Bowl party.
I love that. So, you know, I'm sure you heard so many stories growing up. Was there one story that stood out to you or stuck in your head?
Oh, yeah. I'm a little embarrassed to say it, though, Kate. But growing up in Montreal, you know, trick-or-treaters, all my friends, you know, a week before Halloween, they say, oh, what's going to happen at the Stoker household? Are you going to take our blood or give us candy? As if they're coming to the Munsters or the Adams family house, you know.
I love it. So, his story and how he wrote his story was fascinating to me, because how do you come up with Dracula? How did he come up with that character? What inspired him to write it?
Well, I mean, this has been 15 years of my life trying to figure this out. Many people, it had been five or six biographies. You know, he didn't leave us many clues. There is a set of notes, his research notes in the Rosenbach Museum in Philadelphia. There's a typescript that Paul Allen, the Microsoft co-founder, owns in Seattle, Washington. And just recently, we've actually found in the London Library the actual books that he used for his research, because he listed them in the back of his notes, with notes in the margins. So it's been like this, you know, Indiana Jones trail for me, traveling around the world, putting these clues together, because he didn't write an autobiography. He gave one interview only to Jane Stoddard in the British Weekly just a couple of months after Dracula came out, when she asked, you know, where did you get this idea, where did it come from? So most of it is connecting the dots, or as I say, putting the puzzle together. And I'm convinced that so much of it is his Irish upbringing. You know, as we know, Ireland is the home of Halloween, and I quickly add, yes, and the birthplace of Dracula, because with the rich history, as you well know, about folklore that includes banshees and changelings and pukas and fairies, this is, you know, really gothic, great gothic fodder for books. It's not the little happy-go-lucky leprechauns we see on breakfast cereal or Tinkerbell fairies. This is, you know, the spirits of the dead coming out, cautionary tales. And I'm sure Bram absorbed all that stuff as a young boy, and that just, you know, kind of came out of his brain years later when he connected with the London Library and did all the research about present-day fascination and concerns about real vampire scares.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting to know even a little bit more about his life and how he lived, and his spouse, Florence, who he actually stole away from Oscar Wilde, am I right?
Well, you know, people say stole away. I think what she found was Bram offered much better prospects. He had just got the job offer with Henry Irving, who had just purchased the London Library, and invited Bram to come over to London to be his stage manager and his personal secretary. And he was unmarried at the time, and he'd been courting Florence, who had been going out with Wilde, but it was like, this is the chance, and she aspired to sort of be an actress herself. So the prospects looked better with Bram, and you know, they got quickly married in 1879 and zipped off to London, had their child, and that's what gave him the opportunity to live the life that he really wanted. It was the world of the theater, that creative side of him came out, and it gave him the opportunity in his free time, what little free time he had, to actually write stories, and quite a few of them, not just Dracula.
Yeah. How fun is it for you to manage Bram's estate?
Well, honestly, it's not the fun part, because that's like negotiating contracts for intellectual property rights. You know, the fun part is representing it. You know, there are two great-grandsons alive, Bram's great-grandsons, two retired chartered accountants, and they have cool stuff, and they have some stories, because they were actually raised by Bram's son. So I think it's more fun being the spokesman that gets to chat about this, and not just Halloween. I travel all over the world when there's film festivals, literary festivals, when I have books out, you know, about Dracula or about Bram, or filming documentaries where I take people to Transylvania to look for the site of Bram Stoker's fictional castle, Dracula, or Dublin, Ireland, where he created it, or Cruden Bay, Scotland, where he wrote it. So it's a gas. I mean, I have so much fun with it, but I take it seriously as a relative, as an indirect descendant. I feel it's my duty to spread the word of Dracula so people will ultimately understand who Bram Stoker was, while they all swoon over the Count Dracula himself.
Oh, so well said. I love that description. I want your gig. Oh, what a great job. What a great job you have. What's the number one question that you get when you take all these tours and talk to all these people and do all these documentaries? What is there one question everybody seems to nail you with?
Well, Kate, you've already asked it. You know, what inspired Bram Stoker to write it? And again, it's wonderful, because if he had left us that information, I think the fascination would have been a lot less. But since it hasn't been definitively discovered, I did find a lost journal of his, but it wasn't the type of journal like a diary where you write personal things in it about what you're doing each day. It was more a commonplace book where he wrote stuff in it, thoughts and ideas, observations that came out years later. So that gave me an insight into his brain, but I still, nobody really knows for sure why, you know, what was the one thing? And I'm convinced it's sort of, you know, pardon the pun, like an Irish stew. It's an accumulation of his Irishness, of his observations and things that he saw around his country when he was a inspector of petty sessions and traveled the country in trains and carriages like Harker did, but also the combination of the studying he did in the London Library. And also, he wasn't the first guy to invent vampires. There were books written before that, but he just managed to do it right. And most importantly, he brought Count Dracula from this foreign land with all the superstitions and scariness that he brings to London just after the Jack the Ripper murders were going on unsolved. And so now he's got an audience that are already scared to death about evil in their city. He's delivered Count Dracula to London and just scared the heck out of everybody.
Yeah, one can imagine, because as you said, everything was about Jack the Ripper then, and then you think of this Dracula character. And you know a lot about Dracula with, of course, everything that you're doing, but you're also the international best-selling co-author of Dracula, the Undead. Tell us more about that book.
Well, I've done two of them. I've done a sequel, which I kind of did like Star Wars. I did it backwards. I did a sequel, and then I did a prequel. And so both books have been international bestsellers. The sequel continues the story of Dracula 25 years after the story ended. And we all know that there was a child born at the very end of the story. Mina had a child. The question is exactly how is that child affected by the, let's just call it the blood exchange that Mina had with the Count. And so I thought, boy, it'd be interesting to think, what would that person think about? What would they be like 25 years later? And if they started asking their mom and dad, hey, what went on? Why are you? You're talking about these things. Why are you referencing kind of quietly about this Dracula guy? And that you know, took on a life of its own. And then the prequel was the one that just came out 2 years ago, and the paperback came out, and the film rights have been sold to Paramount. That's all Bram's story, yet fictionalized. So it was Bram Stoker growing up, this mysterious childhood illness that he had, which he really did have, and a miraculous recovery, which he really did have. But nobody knows really how he recovered. And so I did the old what if. What if there was something that led Bram Stoker to believe that vampires were real? Therefore, maybe there was some supernatural intervention. And so he had to write Dracula as a warning to the world that vampires are real. So much like he wrote his book, Dracula, as a novel that's happening in real time in real places, J.D. Barker and I did the same thing with Dracula, and it's been a big hit.
Yeah, oh, well, I can imagine. I love that you flipped the script, so to speak. Dagor, for you on Halloween, is there any other costume? You can't dress as anything, right? You have to be Dracula.
You know, everybody asks me that. That's probably the second most asked question, Kate. I actually try to dress as Bram, because you think about it,
nice.
He's underexposed, you know? Dracula has a much better press agent, and everyone dresses as Dracula. But I try to say, wait a sec, let's remind everybody, I dress as Bram. I kind of get that, you know, the clothing that he would wear on opening nights at the Lyceum Theater, the tails, you know, the white tie. I have a couple of cool little accents with bats and kind of stuff with it. But I prefer to sort of be a little more subtle and let people realize that, you know, Ireland is the home of Halloween. Remember Bram Stoker during Halloween.
Perfect. So well said. Remember that, because the Irish, of course, invented everything, and they did invent Halloween. And you get to talk about the coolest guy from history in talking about, again, Bram and what he brought to life, Dracula. And boy, certainly my childhood played a very big role. Dacre, thank you so much for joining us.
You're most welcome. Let me just say one more thing. If your listeners want to learn anything more about what I do or Bram does, check out BramStokerEstate.com. It's got all this cool clearinghouse for information about my famous great-granduncle and also the books we just chatted about.
Dacre, thank you.
Take care. You have a happy and safe Halloween, Kate.
Yeah, you too.
Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Joins us now. He's in our virtual green room, as I like to say, and he's written a couple of books: Nightmare, What If, an anthology of 13 short stories. He's going to give us the analogy. Kerry, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thank you very much, Kate. How are you today?
I'm excellent. So tell me what it was that drove you to writing these books, and I think future books as well.
Well, it's ironically, my first two children illustrated books in 2006. I was writing children's books. And then a few years later, my mom developed Alzheimer's. And after she passed from complications, I wrote my first short story called Wilma in 2013. And I haven't stopped. So that's what I've been doing. And Nightmare is one of my latest and greatest. And I'm really excited and thrilled with it because I got some really incredible feedback from readers. And but anyway, it's actually a psychological thriller. But it's also a love story between a husband and wife, you know, and best friends from high school and family. And I always enjoy writing about the unknown, you know, the unexplained and the paranormal. And especially dreams and nightmares. They've always fascinated mankind, and there are many theories on what dreams mean and what they can really tell us. And actually, after I wrote Wilma, I wrote a second story called The Dream about a father-husband who loses his wife immediately at the beginning of the book or the story, and he has the one eerie dream over and over. But Nightmare is my baby. I love it. attending a regular Friday night with four of her best friends from high school in their favorite bar in downtown Seattle, Washington, and having drinks and appetizers and sharing each other's previous week. And after returning home early in the morning, she walks quietly in the house and she does not wake her husband and goes to bed. And then she has the most vivid, gruesome nightmare ever experienced in her life. And over a period of the next 2 weeks, the rest of the story with it turns into a living nightmare with the support of her husband, Nick, and her friends to help, you know, determine what's causing these realistic nightmares that ultimately merge her reality in the dream world. She goes through dream therapy, blood work done, MRI scan, and actually REM sleep, rapid eye movement, in a dream sleep therapy clinic that actually exists in Seattle. The whole story is you're living her nightmare. You're reading through her eyes and her mind. You know, experience the shock and the total confusion she has over the next couple of weeks. And I guess I wanted the reader to experience everything that she's going through. So I made it a little confusing to read because you're in her eyes, living her life. And literally not until the final chapter is the true veracity revealed. And I love that because every review book person that's reviewed it said the same thing. So I accomplished my goal.
You know, it is so great. You're right about the whole idea of nightmares. And what do nightmares mean? It makes you think about this. What about past things that have happened to you? What about the future? And I'm someone who dreams, so I get that. And in just kind of a little synopsis of your book, I read a great line. Those who choose to live in their dreams exist in their nightmares. Wow.
Yeah, and that stuck with me. That was actually kind of a byline title, you know, secondary title, working title, and I thought, what the heck, I'm going to leave it in there.
Yeah.
So I put that in, yeah.
Curious for you. So we're speaking with Carrie O'Neill, and we're talking about one of his books, Nightmare, and I agree, this was your ninth book. This is a really interesting book. It takes you on an interesting ride. Do you have nightmares? Do you have dreams?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've had, you know, literally everybody has dreams and nightmares every night, whether they remember them or not. That's just a fact. And I've always been a dreamer of colorful dreams. I always dream in color, which amazes me. But, you know, it's just like one of those things, you wake up and you're like, why did I dream that? You know, is it a random thought theory or is there some basis to it, you know?
Yeah.
Whether it's generated something that's going to happen or something tragic in your life in the past that you're trying to deal with in your sleep because you can't deal with it when you're awake. I mean, yeah, I think it all, it includes everybody.
And so you said it, you want listeners that are listening to this and readers to take away that, exactly what you just said and what you've talked about this story.
Right, right. And actually in everything I've written, Kate, I like leaving the reader with an unexpected ending. Most of the time a happy ending, or something they can at least relate to in their own lives. So like I'll generate a story with a one-page outline, you know, the genre, synopsis, characters, and my objective. And literally after finishing one or two chapters, I usually write the end of the book, and then I fill in the middle. I don't know. It just makes it easier for me to do that because I always have an ultimate goal I'm reaching, you know, at the end of the story.
Yeah.
And in every story, I try to make it so realistic. Everything I've written, I'll research the location, time period, statistical data, or even creatures and plants relevant to the story.
Yeah.
So although they're fictional, there's a lot of authentic information throughout each one to make it more, you know, more believable that way.
Yeah, that's what makes your writing so strong, so good. And I want to make sure we give attention to this, too. What if an anthology of 13 short stories? So tell me about this.
Well, that's like with the one I wrote for my mom and the dream and 11 other short stories. Just basically, every story answers the conceptual question, what if? What if a cat had nine lives? There's a story called Nine Lives. What if, you know, a dog could help you, you know, heal after a tragic in your family? That literally happens. But it's all, you know, just basically all that gobbled together, anything that simply asks the question, what if? And then the publisher, you know, advised me, why don't you down the road resubmit these into a second edition with some other short stories, specific genres? So I wrote, you know, Tales of Horror. I wrote during the pandemic. I finished a collection of inspirational tales, which is literally a collection of inspirational tales. And I think that's, you know, important, especially during the times that we went through and anytime anybody feels down. kind of depressed.
Yeah.
And, you know, wrote a couple of gothic horrors, a werewolf novel and a vampire novel. And I'm writing, actually right now I'm writing two novels at the same time and a short story. And I like to do that because it helps me avoid writer's block, Kate. So, you know, when I get stuck in one plot, I just simply switch to the other story, and then I'll come back to the other one later.
Yeah. Do you have a – it's so interesting to hear you say that. I love that. I've never heard anyone say that, but it's, it makes sense to me because then you're right. You don't have that thing in your mind where you're getting writer's block. Do you have a ritual of, like, where you like to write or when you like to write or no?
Well, the ritual is – usually in the morning, in the middle of the night, I'll wake up and I'll dream and I'll remember something that's relevant to something I'm writing, or not really any specific time except when it pops in my head and I feel like sitting down. I want to get it down on paper before, as we all go, well, I forgot what I was going to say, you know, so I write it down. But no, that's about it. And I put all these into different categories, but now I just run with it. You know, I have several other outlines written. I haven't started stories yet. I'm writing now one called Voice. I started a short story about a woman living alone in the wilderness, and she begins hearing a voice calling out her name in the dense forest surrounding her house. And I'm not even sure where I'm going with that. I've written two pages of it and haven't determined what's going to happen, but it'll all come to me.
Yeah.
Whatever time of the day or night.
I love it. I love it. Do you have, is there somebody that you, because I know you were a big reader. Is there somebody that inspired you with their kind of writing?
Well, I've always liked Michael Crichton. I like Michael Crichton. I love Anne Rice. I like gothic horror. I grew up watching the Hammer films, you know, and that's why I went ahead and did my Reign of Adolphe werewolf novel and When a Predator Dies a Vampire novel. And with those two novels, they take place in the Middle Ages during the same period, during the bubonic plague. And in each story, there's a chapter called Crossing Paths. And they have the same chapter, and they talk about meeting each other in the catacombs of Paris, France, underneath the Notre Dame.
Wow.
And now I'm writing a sequel to the werewolf novel. But I just recently did a website. My website's just easy, carrieo'neillauthor.com. And explains everything. They can take you directly to where you can read more about each story or book and purchase them off Amazon. That seems to be the quickest way right now.
Yeah. CarrieO'Neill.com.
CarrieO'Neill Author.com.
CarrieO'Neill Author.com. So remember that, everybody listening. I can't wait to see what comes next. I'm fascinated by werewolves, so I'm anxious to see what comes up next with you.
Well, I hope anybody that likes gothic horror like that, please read those or check them out because
and it all sounds good to me. Carrie O'Neill, again, the books Nightmare, What If, an anthology of 13 short stories, and as he said, you can go on his website. I'll say it again, CarrieO'NeillAuthor.com. Fascinating the way he writes. I love it. And thanks to all of you for listening to this interview and this version of the show. Make it count, everybody.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.